But in the meantime, let's look at this sphere of concern of meditation. Now, the previous Pope wrote a book called On the Threshold of Hope, and he devoted a whole chapter to Buddhism in it. Now, I thought it was good. I thought that was good. I thought it was good that he took the trouble. Mm-hmm. Although, actually, it was an attempt to repudiate Buddhism as a worthy spiritual path. But I thought it was good that he took the trouble because it showed that we're getting somewhere. And after all, what else was the man going to do? He was convinced about his spiritual path. Of course, he'll try and convince other people about that. It's fair enough. So I thought it was good that he took the trouble. I thought it was a shame that he didn't take the trouble to find out what Buddhism actually does exhort its followers to do. Because according to the previous Pope, it's a selfish path not concerned with the world. If you look up the book, you'll find that written. So on that occasion on September 2001, there was I wondering what effect, if any, my meditation practice has on the world. And about 100 kilometres south of where I was in Italy, 100 kilometres south was the author of the chapter who said that indeed, not only did it have no such effect, it even seemed to have no interest in having any such effect. So that's all nonsense. Of course, Buddhism and Buddhist meditation is interested in the world. Buddhist meditation is not concerned with oneself. We're not concerned with ourself alone. But as you meditate, it is probably true to say that there and then, you know, you are primarily concerned with yourself. So does that mean the Pope's right then? Was he right? Well, it's complicated, isn't it? The Buddhist experience says that if we don't concern ourselves with our own minds, then we'll be pretty well unable to see life clearly ourselves, or to help anyone else to see it clearly and to learn to respond well within it. So maybe the answer to the Pope is that Buddhists practice self-concern. Yes, we do. We do it for the benefit of ourselves and others. So probably good to recollect what the Buddha expected to follow from his teachings. If our initial point of practice is ourself, which is when we're sitting on the cushion, it's ourself that we're dealing with. So what did the Buddha expect to follow from that? Well, from that, when you read a lot of Buddhist texts, from that would follow a concern for all of humanity and all of what human beings experience, the whole human condition. So I start off with myself. What the Buddha expects that after doing that for a while, my sphere of concern is going to extend to the whole human condition. And then not only that, what follows from that then is a concern for all beings everywhere, whatsoever, all beings whatsoever, not just human beings, but all beings whatsoever. So the sphere of concern of meditation is immense, and it's in this sense that the Brahmaviharas are unlimited in their scope. They include all of that. So, okay, before moving on, before saying anything more about the actual Brahmaviharas themselves, I'm just going to lay down some groundwork for us. First of all, I hope it's inspiring to hear that the scope of Buddhist meditation is immense, unlimited, includes concern for all beings whatsoever, in all conditions whatsoever. That, of course, does have implications for us if we want to practice it. It means we need to go beyond our limitations. So in particular, we have to go beyond our likes and dislikes, beyond our preferences. And these likes and dislikes, preferences, arise in dependence upon certain experiences. So they arise in dependence upon pleasant and unpleasant occurrences. They arise in dependence upon pleasant and unpleasant people. And they arise in dependence upon pleasant and unpleasant expectations. There may be other things. Those are the ones that main things that came to my mind. So our likes and dislikes arise in dependence upon those. While we live under the sway of those sorts of likes and dislikes and preferences. The Buddha likened us to a drunken man, or a drunken woman, I expect, staggering about, acting inappropriately, and of course subject to the consequences of those inappropriate actions. So that there you are, that's a description of us while we're under the influence of likes and dislikes and personal preferences that make us drawn towards something, craving after something, and very averse to something else, and pushing away from it, excluding ourselves from it. That, according to the Buddha, is like staggering about in a drunken state. So beginning to go beyond our likes and dislikes doesn't mean that we'll stop having these preferences, so much as we'll begin to stop the craving and aversion that tends to follow them. So instead of being driven by likes and dislikes, or even intoxicated by them, we begin to find other ways of responding to what are just very basic experiences of being alive. Things happen and they're pleasant, or they're unpleasant, or they're a bit grey, and they're a bit neutral, a bit boring even. What the Buddha is saying is just really take note about what happens in your mind, in your heart, in response to that ongoing experience of being alive. So that's the first thing then of laying down the groundwork. We're going to have to be prepared to go beyond our current preferences. So then next, in addition to going beyond those preferences, we'll need to go beyond our present limited understanding of how the way things actually are. So in Buddhist practice, this involves facing up to the transiency of things and the experience of the precariousness of life. As often as not, we'd like to avoid being aware of that. Well, we're all aware of it. We know it very well, but we'd really like to avoid having to think much about it. So in a word then, what Buddhism itself, but in particular the Brahmaviharas, are mean for us in practice, are going to mean facing up to impermanence, including our own impermanence. That's all, of course, the one that is hardest probably. Though it's also hard to face up to impermanence of people that are close to us, people that we love. So it means facing up to the inescapable fact that everything is liable to ending. Things arise and they fall away, and there is nothing which does not do that. So if you want to practice Buddhist meditation, and the Brahmaviharas in particular, then again, be warned. Your likes and dislikes are going to have to weaken their hold over you, and me, mine over me, and we'll all have to face up to impermanence, transiency, precariousness. But if we do, then, carrying on using the Buddha's image, then we disentangle ourselves from drunkenness and its consequences. So if we were to do that, we'd gain clarity and balance of mind. We'd gain the ability to respond to situations appropriately, and in the process we'd also gain great joy. We do gain great joy.